ATC is go.
Acapulco is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night, the 21st. Welcome to the Druids. It's summer solstice. All you pagans out there, celebrate like it's 1999. Folks, right off the bat, we've got to bring up something fairly disturbing. Diane Sorey has once again put up a very, I mean terribly, insensitive post that has violated the Facebook propaganda protocol. Now, the question is, will Diane admit to what she's done?
I will very gladly admit to what I have done, because there was absolutely nothing wrong with what I posted.
Says you.
Says me. Well, why don't I read it to our listeners and let's see what they think.
Okay.
I put up a post 2 or 3 days ago, and I just got called on it today, a few hours ago. I said, again, there is no such thing as transgender, nor will there ever be until one's DNA, one's genetic code, can be changed.
How dare you?
That's scientific fact, folks. You know, you can cut off parts, you can add parts, you can mess with the innards a little bit, but unless you have your genetic code, your DNA and your RNA changed, you're still the sex you were born into. That is scientific fact.
But it's not in accordance to Facebook propaganda protocol.
No. They said, I said hate speech. Now, nowhere in here, I read you the exact words, guys. Nowhere in here did I make fun of transgender people. Did I put them down for being transgender? Did I say anything derogatory against them? No. I just stated a scientific fact that you need your DNA to be changed in order to actually change your gender, your sex. In other words, it can't be done. Anything that they're doing is for appearance only.
Now, they didn't really ban you. They kind of put you on house arrest. I mean, you know, how long are you in penance on this?
Well, for this post, I'm in penance. Are you ready for this, folks? 19 hours.
What? Wait a minute. 19 out. They didn't even give you a timeout for a full day?
No. 19 hours. I can post tomorrow morning, but I can't post on groups for 2 days, which will be tomorrow at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And they're going to move my stuff lower down in the feed for about 29 days, they say.
Numbers. Now, wait a minute. First of all, how can they move your stuff any lower in the feed than it already is?
Exactly. You know, I'm getting responses for shows that Craig and I have done 4, 5, 6 shows ago. People are just seeing it now. So, I mean, that's not the point of this. The point of this is, if you don't agree with Facebook's woke propaganda. Even when you give scientific facts, it's considered by them to be hate speech. Everything Fauci lied about, from the masks to the boosters to the shots to the social distancing, all of that, the fact that he admitted his connection to the Wuhan lab, all of that, none of that matters. But because I said scientifically, as of, you know, this day and age, we cannot change one's genetic code, I have posted hate speech.
You know, Diane, somewhere out there is a woke snowflake who is squeezing his balls and crying, "Diane, sorry, says I can't be a girl."
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, did I put up something that said men cannot give birth? Men have no place to put a Tampax in, except in spots where Tampax really don't go? I mean, am I blaming men for the Tampax shortages?
No, but you should.
Men who think they are women? No. I stated a simple scientific fact that the only time sex can be changed scientifically is when genetics can be changed. Until you can change one's genetics, one's DNA code, one's genetic code, you remain as you were born. And no amount of play acting is going to change that fact.
I thought you could just click your heels together three times facing the east and that was all it took. But apparently,
yeah,
not.
No, apparently it's a little more. So, but the funny part is I appealed it. Okay. Within a minute, you know, very, very good appeal. It took all of a minute. No, you still violated our hate speech. Okay. Then they said, well, you can go before a review board with your complaint against Facebook. So I click on that to see what that involves. And they go through a thing. We have 28 independent face checkers. Most of them guys are not us. Let's put it that way. And then they go, yes, we can appeal it, but we cannot change Facebook's verdict. We cannot re-put the post up. We cannot do anything. But you can appeal it to us.
Right. So a lot of good that does.
A lot of good that does. So in other words, folks, every and anything now, if you don't agree with Facebook's woke philosophy, you're doing hate speech. If you put up that men can't menstruate, that's hate speech. If you put up that only women can give birth, that's hate speech. I mean, this has gotten out of hand. This whole woke crap has gotten out of hand. Now it's even invaded West Point. And the generals at West Point are furious.
Well, as well they should be.
Yeah,
you know, but
you can Google that, folks, if you don't believe me. It's all over the internet about that.
But at least you're not dwelling on it, so.
At least I'm not dwelling on it, and, you know, I did what I could to fight them. But it took all of a minute for them to get it back to me that their decision holds.
Well, that's because they're not distracted by anything else. I mean, the guys in Facebook checking office, fact-checking office, you know, those guys are all in the ladies' room and there's no distractions. So they got right back to you.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to be putting up all the communiques between Facebook and me on my blog, The Patriot Factor, tomorrow morning.
That'll be entertaining.
It'll be very entertaining. I snipped it all. This is their exact things they sent to me, including my post.
Yep.
So everybody can see. I did not say anything derogatory. I did not put anybody down. Nothing. I stated a scientific fact.
Can we in the future, and by we I mean you, can we dispense with saying I snipped everything when we're talking about gender changes? This just kind of makes me wince, you know?
Well, I have my snipping tool, if you want to call it.
No, not when we're talking about this topic.
Okay.
You can say you grabbed it.
Involves males to females. Snip, snip.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing is ridiculous. When you cannot even put up a tried and true scientific fact that at our scientific knowledge at this time in man's progress, we are not able to change DNA into something else. That's just a scientific fact. If I can't even put up a scientific fact, there's something very wrong there.
Yeah, but like I said, at least you're not dwelling on it, so.
Well, you know what? This is what, my 48th or 50th jailing? What is it, you know? It's a joke. It's comical.
Okay, well,
we give everybody a laugh. Let's look at it that way.
We've only got an hour and 20 minutes left in the show, so.
Right.
Just saying. Got a little housekeeping we got to do. We weren't on the air very much last week because we were having technical difficulties. And this time, when I say we, I mean me. Mm-hmm. And I've got a brand new antenna and a brand new modem. And so we have not had the Skype dropouts since I got those installed. Everything's been going great. Cross my fingers, knock on the red wood of my desk. I think we're fine now from a technical standpoint. So,
in other words, it was never me.
No, this time it wasn't. Most of the time it is, but this time it wasn't. And I even knew it because a couple of days before I found out what the problem was, I told Diane, I said, I may need a new modem. Turns out the modem and the antenna that I had were both past their expiration date.
Yeah, and you had no idea.
I didn't know. But they came out, they hooked me up with some new equipment, and it's been great ever since. Now, in another housekeeping note, we're going to be taking a little bit of time off coming up here, beginning not this week, but next week. We will be here this Friday and next Tuesday, but then what happens?
Then we're going to be off for about till mid-July, I'd say. And this time, it could be my blame because I have a destination wedding that I have to go to, and I have to go to it because it's my older son. And there's no way I'm going to be online and on the air during that time.
You know, I don't blame you. And, you know, it's a quick trip, really, considering the destination is Mars.
Yes.
you know, I mean, the fact that you found a way to get there and back in a couple of weeks, that's pretty good.
I'm using Elon Musk's...
the Starship. Yeah. So we're going to be off for... couple of weeks anyway, maybe a few days longer than that. But that's good. I mean, we can use a break, midsummer break, and that's good. And you've got the road trip.
And we usually do take a 2-week break in the summer. This time it's just going to be a little longer.
Yeah. So those are the things we kind of wanted to bring up. Now, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. Diane, you're talking about On Masks, Dr. Fauci, and Truths Kept Hidden.
Yes.
Now, that's because, folks, there's been more information, more truths that, you know, the administration doesn't want you to know about regarding Fauci and the masks. So.
Yes.
And Diane just loves writing about Fauci and the masks.
Well, I especially love giving all the true medical information that they cannot come back at me with.
Well, and that's fine. Just don't post it up on Facebook or you know, you might get knocked out for 17 3/4 hours. I mean, you know, try to keep the truth down to a bare minimum on Facebook, folks. They don't like it. I'm going to be talking about sending the Me Too movement to Davy Jones's locker.
Yes.
tonight. We'll have a little bit of fun with that. Now, in the meantime, we do have a few quick hitters we want to get to. The situation with the Uvalde, Texas shooting has become even more of a debacle as even more information starts to leak out about what transpired there. And frankly, it's more than disturbing.
It's extremely disturbing because it turns out that this shooting could have been over and done with within 3 minutes from the time the kid entered the building and barricaded himself in the room, and then the events unfolded. If the police had gone in when they had the chance, which is, we're talking 3 minutes here, folks, those children and those teachers would be alive today.
Not only that, but we found out a couple of other things. In fact, we were told early on, the world was told early on, that the police had to wait for equipment and armament and things like that to get there. That, as it turns out, is not true.
Correct. This is a debacle bar none.
There were apparently armed police in the hallway outside of that classroom almost from the get-go.
Yes. Not only that, remember, the parents were standing there. They were getting phone calls from their kids in the school. The teachers were calling out. The parents were begging the police to go in, and they just stood there. They did nothing.
Now, I'm going to throw one more thing into the mix on this. It also turns out that that classroom door was never locked. That classroom door was unlocked the whole time. So to use the word barricaded is also a misnomer, because he didn't barricade the door with anything. They didn't even have to break the door down. It was unlocked.
Right. And then there's another part to that door. Remember the teacher who was basically ground zero of this. Not that she had anything to do with the killings, but the fact that she was the one that said, oh, I forgot to lock the door, or the lock was broken. Wasn't that it? The lock was broken.
Right.
That's not true. The door just was not locked.
Yeah, now that's the door, the back door of the school from the outside into the building. But the classroom door itself was also not locked.
Correct.
So this thing gets more and more disturbing the more and more information we get.
Yes, very disturbing. And heads need to roll for this. Number one and number two should be the police captain and also the school board captain.
Yeah, I'm telling you, issuing a stand-down order, not allowing the police to go in there. And remember, the first person to go through that door into that classroom was a member of the special unit of the Border Patrol. The police of Uvalde, Texas, were there. They were inside the building. They were armed from the word go. The door to the classroom was not locked. The guy was not barricaded in there. And yet, nobody opened the door and went into that room. That's horrible.
Right. And it gets even worse than that. Because if you remember in the original reports, the mayor, I believe it was the mayor, it might have been the police chief himself, but one of them said, we had to find a janitor to open the classroom door for us.
Nope.
That was a lie, folks. An out-and-out lie. And if I was those parents, I would sue for an amount of money unheard of in a case, because 21 people would be alive today if it wasn't for the total incompetency of the Uvalde Police Department.
I think a lawsuit on the order of $100 million per family is entirely apropos in this case. So we'll see. And you know, those lawsuits, class action or otherwise, are going to start rolling in.
as more and more information comes out. And we'll probably learn things we haven't heard yet when it goes to trial. And believe me, it will go to trial.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. And it should.
Stand by. We'll keep an eye on that and an ear on that, and anything that crops up, we'll let you know about it. Another quick hitter tonight. We need to talk about the SCOTUS decision that came down, the school choice decision. And I got to tell you, when I first heard that they had reached the decision they did, it was 6-3, by the way, so you can guess who's who, right? I thought, well, now wait a minute, this just doesn't seem right. What the SCOTUS decided was that tax dollars can be used to send kids to private parochial church schools. Now, to me, and I talked to Diane about this earlier today, I said, to me, this sounds unconstitutional. But Diane, the SCOTUS said not doing it was unconstitutional. So what the hell?
Well, actually, the SCOTUS is 100% wrong, because if you remember the wording of the First Amendment, you know,
right,
religion is not
state sanctioned.
It's not state sanctioned. So, in other words, when they're taking our taxpayer dollars and giving it to a religious organization, being parochial schools, that's actually sanctioning a religion.
It sure seems like it to me. Now, I have not had
to me.
Yeah, I have not had an opportunity to read the decision. I don't know upon what they're basing this, but just at first blush, listen, the holier than thous are out there celebrating like crazy. They're celebrating like pagans on the solstice.
Right. Okay.
They're as happy as can be. But I'm looking at this going, wow, do you really want to tie your parochial school, your church school, to the U.S. government? Really? Because let me tell you something. If the government is paying for students, if they're diverting tax dollars to a parochial school, doesn't that give the government the right to tell the school what they can teach?
Exactly. I was just going to say that. Suddenly in parochial schools, you're going to have critical race theory. You're going to have the Common Core crap. You're going to have whole religious things. If you send your child to, let's say, a Catholic school, which you have every right to do, in that Catholic school is suddenly going to be taught Islam? I mean, you got to think of the ramifications of this.
Yeah,
there is separation of church and state. Whether the holier than thous accept that as fact or not, it is a fact.
You know, you just got to be careful of who's paying for what when it comes to the education of your kids. Because the minute you open the door and let the government do that, then all of a sudden you're beholden to the government.
Exactly.
You know, and the reason a lot of people send their kids to, you know, let's say a Catholic school or any parochial school, is because they don't want to deal with a government indoctrination center. This exactly. Seems to me to open that door wide open.
Right. And this, I hope that this is not a placating in regards to Roe v. Wade. We'll give you this, but you've got to give us that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And there's going to be an uproar from the left because, you know, most people on the left aren't smart enough to figure out that this actually benefits the liberal cause. So,
yeah, and they're not thinking straight. But then again, what I always say about the holy rollers, they're so far to the right that they can shake hands with the left.
That's true. That's very okay. True.
And remember, in their minds, their religion trumps everything.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that plays out. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, this is kind of funny in a way. Apparently, getting your picture taken with Kamala Harris is now at a bargain bin price.
Well, she's bargain bin trash. What can I say?
Well, you know, I mean, that's true. But here's the deal. See, there was going to be this big women's conference, right? And Kamala Harris was going to be the featured speaker at this thing. And if you wanted to get your picture taken with Kamala Harris, the DNC was going to charge you $15,000 for having your picture taken. This was a fundraiser for the DNC. Well, what happened was they didn't even sell enough tickets to the event to keep the event afloat. So they canceled the event. And now they're saying
it's postponed until the fall, actually.
Yeah. And trust me, by this fall, when we're close to the election, it's going to be even worse.
Yes.
Here's the deal. Now, they're saying, the DNC is, they're saying that you can still get your picture taken with Kamala Harris, but instead of $15,000, it's now only $5,000.
I can think of quite a few things I would rather do with $5,000 to not only not have my picture taken with that woman, but even to be in the same room with that woman.
I could not agree with you more. But the funny thing is, as the Biden and Harris poll numbers tank, the cost of getting a photo taken with either one of them is dropping like a stone.
Yeah. And one of those numbers that is helping it drop like a stone, very simply, there has been a 300% increase in illegal immigrants this past May than there ever was under President Trump.
And you know who's really pissed off about that is legal immigrants. People who've come to this country, done all the paperwork, stood in line, became a U.S. citizen the right way. They are livid about this.
Yes.
Well, rightly so.
Here's something else that I was reading about after you and I spoke this afternoon. Apparently, Cuban immigrants that are coming over in the boats, families that are coming over,
right,
who have families here, who will support them and take care of them, they're being sent back to Cuba. They're being turned around. But not the SCUs. You know, they can come on in. We got your votes. Come on in. Cubans, as a whole, are Republicans.
What the Cubans need to do, quite honestly, if they want to come over here, is they, instead of sailing north, they need to sail west, land somewhere in Mexico, and then come up that way, because nobody's stopping them at that border.
Well, they're a different kind of people, you know, a little more, what's a good word? They want to come here because they want to contribute to the American dream.
Right.
They don't want to take. They don't have their hands out. Gimme, 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 gimme.
No, they embody the American dream, and they always have.
Right.
You know, and that's the difference. And like you said, a lot of them, and I mean a lot of them from Cuba, vote Republican. Well, you know, the Democrats, the liberals, they don't like that. You know, they finally found somebody who wants to come into this country that they're willing to stop.
Yeah. Oh, well, here's something funny. It just came across one of my feeds, Craig, just for a giggle. 11% of Americans actually blame Putin for high gasoline costs.
11%?
What 11% in this country are that stupid? That's my question. Where did they get 11% of Americans actually blame Putin and not Biden and the Democrats? I'd like to know what those 11% are, who they are.
I'll tell you who they are. I can tell you exactly who they are. Those are the people that try to get in the outdoor at Walmart.
Ah, okay.
That's who those people are. Folks, we've made it to the bottom of the hour. That means we got to take a quick little break here, get a couple of station IDs in. Now, later, you know, about a half an hour from now, I'm going to be talking about sending the Me Too movement to Davy Jones's locker. But when we come back from this bottom of the hour break, it's all Diane with On Masks, Dr. Fauci, and Truths Kept Hidden. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sori over there at the Patriot Factor, broadcasting from the high bay at SpaceX in Boca Chica, Texas. We're glad to have you on board with us tonight, folks. And if you miss any part of the show, you can always go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning and click on the podcast button. This show will be right there along with all the rest of them. And we appreciate our pod people more than they know.
Yes, we do.
All right, Diane. So there was a bunch more information that came out. Where, and folks, if you can hear this kind of background static in the thing, we're hoping that clears up. That's not me. Okay, my new equipment's not doing that. It's just that Diane has her mic came unplugged, and she's got it plugged back in now. And at least we think you do. Tap on it for me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. No, yeah. Guys, what you're actually hearing in the background, if it is coming through, is you're hearing a fish tank in the background.
Yeah, Diane calls it a fish tank. It's actually something like you'd find at SeaWorld. She's got two orcas in there.
I'm not in my office, folks. I'm in a different room as well.
Okay, so there's a bunch of new information that came out regarding masks and Dr. Yes. Fauci. This situation just keeps getting more and more out of hand for the administration and for that little weasel Fauci. What have you discovered?
Well, let's start by saying I have said since the beginning of the COVID scamdemic that masks do not work in stopping the spread of the virus and that the death toll has also been greatly exaggerated. And while many did die while having COVID-19, COVID was actually secondary to their pre-existing conditions. Conditions like heart disease, asthma, COPD, cancer, diabetes, or any number of pre-existing maladies which compromised and ruined their body's ability to successfully fight off the infection. And to that effect, we now find many scientists believing that those who had a severe case of COVID-19 that resulted in death was due more to the disease's actual virosity causing them to have what they called a haywire immune response to the virus itself, even more so than they're having pre-existing conditions. But due to the likes of Dr. Anthony Fauci and others who both financially and politically benefited from said scandemic, if you died while having COVID-19, you died of COVID-19. Your pre-existing conditions and immune system response be damned. Simply, COVID-19 itself became a huge money-making operation when it came to hospital and clinic reimbursements, and it was a cash cow windfall for vaccine and drug manufacturers, as well as for greedy politicians who were privy to inside trader information. And dare we forget that China, the very country that was ground zero of this entire sordid mess, also saw huge monetary profits courtesy of the virus they created. How so? Simply because the majority of masks we were forced to buy and then wear, masks which in total reached into millions, if not billions, were manufactured there in China. And dare we forget those like disgraced former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who saw his state's Medicare and Medicaid expenses being greatly reduced via his ever so callously letting COVID-19 cull New York's elderly nursing home herd. And while much brouhaha has surrounded the entirety of this COVID fiasco, especially with the government using fear of catching the virus as a means by which to not only keep us in line, courtesy of their now politicized COVID-19 agenda, but to force many of us, me proudly not included, to roll up our collective sleeves to get jabbed and boosted, which did not prevent many of those who did get vaxxed from getting sick, some even getting COVID numerous times. And Craig, yet nothing was more annoying to most than the ridiculous mask mandates that have now proven to be but a joke.
Now, you're not making this stuff up. There's actually a big study that was done, but you know, a lot of times when we see these kind of medical studies, they come from like Johns Hopkins University or Cedars-Sinai or, you know, some big coastal type of thing. That's not the case with this study. It comes from a place you probably wouldn't expect, but there is a reason for that too. So tell us about the study.
Okay. A study was done in Kansas analyzing the death rates of COVID patients and compared the rate of death between mask wearing and non-mask wearing individuals. Done as what's called an observational study. Now, this is the name of the study, the Fogin Effect, a mechanism by which face masks contribute to the COVID-19 case fatality rate, and I have the link right in the article, was first published in the journal Medicine back in February of this year, and yet was kept quiet. Authored by German doctor Zacharias Fogin, this study analyzed, quote, whether mandatory mask use influenced the case fatality rate in Kansas from August 1, 2020 through October 15, 2020, which was at the beginning height of the virus's spread. But why Kansas as opposed to other states? Because Kansas, which has 105 counties, saw 81 of those very counties deciding not to impose mask mandates. So what did the study find? It found that, quote, contrary to the accepted thought that fewer people are dying because infection rates are reduced by masks, this was not the case, end quote. In fact, quote again, results from this study strongly suggest that mask mandates actually caused about 1.5 times the number of deaths, or 50% more deaths, compared to no mask mandates, end quote. Now, more on why mask wearing caused said deaths in a bit. And while Dr. Fauci and crew had us believing that masks would stop droplets that were caught or sneezed out by those infected from penetrating through a mask, thus preventing those uninfected from inhaling said droplets and then becoming sick, he knew damn well that would not be the case, because he also knew that COVID's composition consisted of virus particles so small that 100 million of them could easily fit on the head of a pin, and that mere thousands of said particles were all that was necessary to infect someone. Simply, Fauci knew that something this small could easily get through and or around an improperly or even a properly worn mask, because the majority of masks sold and worn were made from materials whose fabric composition, in regards to actual woven thread size, was large enough for COVID's viral particles to either pass through or enter via voids in the mask and embed themselves, due to their microscopically small size, deep within one's respiratory tract, even more so than the influenza virus does. In other words, if the powers that be really wanted the pandemic to end, more time, energy, and monies would have been spent on developing medications as in antivirals and antidotes to treat COVID-19 than to waste money on trying to stop the actual spread via vaccines that were not even close to being 100% effective and masks that were literally useless. And Fauci also knew that it would have been better to allow what, in most cases, is a disease whose symptoms are not unlike the flu, to simply run its course and allow herd immunity to kick in. This, Craig, would have allowed those who did get sick to receive better and more effective medications to prevent COVID-19 from turning into something more serious and life-threatening, like bronchitis or COVID pneumonia, which was what caused most of the COVID deaths.
Now, this Fogan study, the one that came out of Kansas, it's a good study, and like Diane said, she's got the link to it, so you can read the study yourself. Now, there are some things in there that probably aren't going to make a whole lot of sense to a lot of people who don't have a medical background, but if you read the summary of the study, you get the whole idea, and if you have questions, you can always ask somebody. But that was not the only study that that came up with the same results, was it?
No. You have to know that that Fogan study was not, like Craig said, the only study to announce that masks were not and would never be the means by which to end the pandemic. In fact, based upon data gathered from 35 countries with populations of over 1 million people each, totaling 602 million people, this particular, what was a peer-reviewed study, showed that the use of masks, quote, may have harmful unintended consequences, end quote, including the fact that face mask usage correlates directly with higher death rates overall. And this study was called the, quote, correlation between mask compliance and COVID-19 outcome in Europe. And this study ran from October 2020 until March 2021 at the peak of infection and was also kept relatively quiet. Again, I have the link to the entire study, showing that while most European governments and their corresponding advisory boards recommended and oftentimes mandated the wearing of masks in public places, a mandate that remains in effect today in a good many European countries, was done no matter that randomized, quote, controlled trials done both before the pandemic went global and continued while the pandemic spread, failed to show any benefit by wearing masks in regards to slowing down COVID-19's rate of transmission. Quote, positive correlation between mask usage and cases was not statistically significant, the study found, while the correlation between mask usage and deaths was positive and significant, end quote. Simply, in layman's terms, countries with a high degree of mask wearing did did not see less cases of COVID-19 than those countries with a low level of mask wearing. In fact, mask wearing actually led to a higher death rate across the board. And why so? Because the wearing of masks basically disallows the immune system to kick in and do its job. Again, more on that in just a little bit. Also, a 2019 study, which Dr. Fauci was well aware of, found that both randomized controlled trials and observational studies dealing with mask wearing versus non-mask wearing amongst 2,862 hospital healthcare workers showed that both N95 respirators and surgical masks, quote, resulted in no significant difference in the incidence of laboratory-confirmed influenza or other respiratory illnesses, nor in the rate of transmission, end quote. And while influenza is not COVID-19, COVID-19 and influenza are both viruses that present themselves in basically the same way, as in through airborne and or close contact transmission, as well as their overall symptoms and possible complications being about the same. And this study as well showed that face mask use did not, I repeat, did not protect someone against even something that is as mundane as the common cold compared to the control group without face masks in regards to healthcare workers. A serious study, yet a deliberately silent study that did not play well, nor would it help to sell the Democrats' now politicized pandemic agenda, because it showed that hospital workers who did not wear masks, workers who were surrounded by way more viral and bacterial contaminants than we are on any given day, actually got less sick than those hospital workers who did wear masks, Craig, thus preventing and proving that masks were never the viral deterrent that Fauci and crew claimed them to be.
You know, throughout the pandemic panic, you know, which really was a fake panic, a real pandemic, but a fake panic, you saw people wearing all sorts of different things. I mean, those blue paper masks, the N95s that you just mentioned a minute ago, were there any masks that did any good at all? And if there were, how much good did they actually do?
Okay. As a fact, there was a study of 44 mask brands as opposed to types of masks published in primarydoctor.org. Again, I have the link to it. Found that medical-grade masks had over 20% penetration, while, quote, general masks and handkerchiefs had no protective function in terms of the aerosol filtration efficiency, end quote. And yet another study showed that penetration of cloth masks by viral particles was almost 97%, with penetration of regular medical-grade masks being at 44%, while actual surgical masks, which offer no protective effect from infectious contamination to the patient, had about an 85% penetration ratio.
Whoa.
And even N95 respirators, which filter out 95% of particles, having a diameter of 0.3 microns, did not provide what they call superior protection to any of the face masks commonly worn in regards to COVID-19, because coronaviruses, like COVID-19, are approximately 0.125 microns in diameter, thus being way smaller than that which N95s can filter out. In other words, Craig, medical masks, surgical masks, general masks, cloth masks, handkerchiefs, and even N95 respirators provide little, if any, protection against what's called respiratory aerosols, including those of COVID-19, with respiratory aerosols being the suspension of bacterial or viral particles in one's inhaled and exhaled breath. Simply, it's the mode of viral transportation from one infected individual breathing, sneezing, or coughing out said virus than being inhaled by someone else.
Okay, so the mask didn't do any good in protecting anybody from the virus. I mean, you've cited and provided links to several different studies that make that very clear. So how is it then that the mask actually contributed to people getting COVID-19 and people dying of COVID-19? Okay. How'd that happen?
Well, really, the wearing of masks actually does lead to more COVID-19 illnesses and deaths. And that's because, and it's beyond the fact that we as humans were designed to breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide waste products. And the reason for that is that for some low oxygen, for some people, I should say, low oxygen levels induces hypoxia, induced factor 1 alpha, which is called HIF-1, which in turn downregulates CD4 plus T cells. Those are the cells necessary for viral immunity. And this reduction in exhaled carbon dioxide in turn leads to hypercapnia, a condition where too much CO2 is present in one's bloodstream due to not being able to breathe normally and properly, which can lead to cardiac overload and to a shift in metabolic acidosis. And that, folks, is a serious electrolyte condition where the body's acid-base balance is dangerously thrown off, causing the kidneys to possibly shut completely down, thus leading to death because the kidneys are unable to excrete excess acids.
Okay, now, wait a minute. Before you go on, just so I've got this clear, and I think our listeners need to get this clear, when you wear the mask, when you're breathing in your own exhaust, you're actually killing off or suppressing the cells that fight the virus and create immunity. So wearing the mask actually reduces the body's ability to fight off the virus? Is that what you're saying here?
For some people. That's not okay. For all people. Most people will just get lightheaded and just feel kind of crappy for a little bit. Once they remove the mask, their breathing becomes normal again. But for people with, let's say, compromised immune systems, people with pre-existing conditions, the people that are dying of COVID for the most part, those masks help to contribute to their deaths.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have footnotes here for all the medical lingo, if you will.
Okay, so let's move on and kind of give us a bottom line on this thing as it relates to Fauci.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, even with everything I've said, still Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's masked, vaxxed, and twice boosted self, now has COVID-19, he knew well all that I've stated is true. And yet he and the Democrat powers that be gleefully shoved the mask nonsense down we the people's throats. And I believe this was done to not only turn the Chinese manufactured virus into a political weapon to be used in 2020 against President Trump, but to help cull the herd as per the UN's Agenda 30 and Agenda 50 directives. Fauci, you know, people have to remember he's a globalist, but it was also done to make Fauci himself indispensable to the very political party now on the verge of their own destruction. The quest for money and power have proven for Dr. Anthony Fauci to be the most powerful aphrodisiac of all, while the sheeple amongst us still buy into the mask nonsense in an attempt to quell their own anxiety over a pandemic that did not have to be. Case closed.
All right, so let me ask you a not so rhetorical question, and I don't mean this to sound cynical, okay?
Oh, yes, you do.
No, actually, I don't. Okay. I mean, I think a legitimate answer needs to be found on this. Because of what you have written in this op-ed, which, by the way, folks, is titled On Masks, Dr. Fauci and Truths Kept Hidden, that you can find at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. If Fauci, as you say here, knew that all you have written in here is true, and, mm-hmm. and we have to suspect he did. I mean, for God's sake, the man's a doctor, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Why? I mean, if he knew that breathing in your own exhaust, which you don't have to be a doctor to figure out that's not really good for you.
Right.
Okay. But if he knew the dangers of it, and we assume that he did, why at one point would he tell people to put on two masks? Because then you're breathing in even more of your own exhaust. Do you think that was part of culling the herd, as in the UN agendas 30 and 50?
It could have been, or it could have been just a mode of sort of gathering the sheeple together, seeing how many people would buy into the Democrats' agenda. Like, we are telling you to do this. How many of us would really do it?
A lot of people did.
A lot, and they still are.
I don't get it. I still see a few people, not so much around here, but last week we were up in South Dakota, and I did see a few people up there wearing a mask. Not very many, but there are still a few, and I can't figure it out. I can't for the life of me understand what they think they're accomplishing now.
I still see people driving alone in their own cars, fully masked.
Those people should also wear a helmet.
Those people need a checkup from the neck up.
I mean, I wouldn't trust those people walking down the street without a helmet.
No. I mean, this has gotten so out of control. The masks were a way of controlling the population. That's basically all it was. They were seeing who would listen, who wouldn't listen. Once they found out the numbers, they were able to basically draw out their agenda. They could play to those masses. Well, and it's very funny because there are also studies being done now that those of us who did not get jabbed, did not get boosted, did not wear masks except if we were forced to, if we were going someplace and we weren't allowed in without it, how come none of us have gotten sick?
Now, I'll tell you, it's a weird situation. Now, I did get sick. I did have the Omicron.
You had that one, yeah.
Was it the Omicron? No, I had the Delta.
Right, you had the Delta.
I had the
Delta.
You
ended up with COVID pneumonia.
Yeah, I did. You know, but I didn't wear a mask. Now, I have no idea where I came in contact with it for sure. But, you know, I didn't wear a mask. I didn't get jabbed. I didn't do any of that stuff. And, you know, there were a couple of times where, like you said, I had to wear a mask to go into a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I mean, I went in, I got what I went in to get, and I got out of there as fast as I could because I didn't like breathing my own exhaust.
Right, right. And yet, you know, you find people, my own husband included, worked with COVID patients on a daily basis. He never got it.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for natural immunity. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. You either have an immune system that can fight it off, or you're going to get it. But you're well enough, your immune system is well enough to give you a milder case, a case that responds to the treatments that are available. But for many people with pre-existing conditions, whose immune systems are naturally weakened because of their pre-existing conditions, they're wearing a mask. Was the wrong thing.
It was detrimental. It did the exact opposite of what it was advertised to do.
Exactly. And those countries where I said the European study, in one of the footnotes I have in this article, I list the countries who participated in the study. And we're talking major European countries, folks. We're not talking about little pipsqueak countries, you know.
Well, yeah, you're not talking about rinky-dinky, you know. I mean,
not at all. No. We are talking major countries here, and all the studies that were done had found the same things. The masks actually contributed to deaths.
Folks, I want you to go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Grab the article for yourself, hit those links, read the studies for yourself, and then share the link to the op-ed everywhere you can. On Masks, Dr. Fauci, and Truths Kept Hidden. With that, we've hit the top of the hour. We got to take another quick break. And when we come back, oh yeah, we're going to have a little fun sending the Me Too movement to Davy Jones's locker. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi guys, Diane.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, go to rsvradio1.com tomorrow morning. Become one of the pod people by clicking the podcast button. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to give us any personal information. All you got to do is listen. All the shows will be there, including this one.
Yes.
All right. So I know it's been a few weeks since this all went down and it was all the buzz on social media, but I saw a little bit more in that Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial than I think most people realized. So I decided to put it down in the blog, shall we say.
Okay.
Sending the Me Too movement to Davy Jones's locker. At last, our long national nightmare is over. On June 1st, 2022, the jury returned with a verdict in the case of Johnny Depp v. Amber Heard, and Johnny Depp walked away the winner, having been awarded what amounts to $13 million in damages. The trial lasted most of 6 weeks and featured the airing of more dirty laundry than a three-day seminar on the effects of explosive diarrhea held in the party room of an all-you-can-eat bean burrito buffet. Now, before I get into the real nuts and bolts of this commentary, allow me to give you the most accurate descriptions that I can provide of the two combatants in this case. Excuse me. Johnny Depp is perhaps the most wildly creative, absurdly talented, and quite possibly the ultimate chameleon in the history of cinema, having produced out of thin air some of the most iconic characters ever seen on the big screen. From characters like Edward Scissorhands to Grindelwald to Tonto and Barnabas Collins, the Mad Hatter, Sweeney Todd, Willy Wonka, and Ichabod Crane, to his portrayals of real-life people like Ed Wood, Hunter S. Thompson, James Whitey Bulger, and John Dillinger, Depp has showcased a range of talent never before seen in Hollywood. When you throw in his Captain Jack Sparrow, iconic doesn't even begin to scratch the surface. And I've got a video in there that'll give you a little taste of what Johnny Depp can do. Amber Heard, on the other hand, is an idiot. From a legal standpoint, the case was a defamation case brought by Johnny Depp against Amber Heard, in which he claimed she defamed him, and falsely so, in an op-ed article she had written some years ago where she claimed to be a survivor of domestic abuse and more than implied that Depp was the abuser. Heard countersued Depp for defamation based on something Depp's publicist said about her being a fraud. Now, to argue the case in court, Johnny Depp, a superstar, hired a superstar team of attorneys. On the other hand, Amber Heard, an idiot, hired a team of legal idiots to defend her. Diane, that in a nutshell is the legal description of the case, but in reality, I think there was much more to it than that.
Well, the much more to it than that is Amber Heard took it upon herself, basically, to be the spokesvictim of the Me Too movement, didn't she?
Yes, she did. What the case really was, what it was beyond the legal aspects, let's say, was a man who'd been falsely accused of doing terrible things, deciding not only to put the liar on trial, but deciding to put the entire Me Too movement on trial at the same time. When Heard made her baseless accusations against Johnny Depp, it was at the beginning of the Me Too movement and followed in line with what was attempted against now Justice Brett Kavanaugh. I believe that Heard was seeking relevance by not only attaching herself to the liberal craze, but trying to become its hero, its poster girl. She claimed she loved Depp. She married Depp. But I believe that when she couldn't find a way to make her light shine brighter, she began to resent Depp's talent and his fame. Not that she resisted it or resented it enough to walk away from Johnny Depp, but just enough to want what Depp had by any means necessary. Now, to that end, her jealousy, her lack of relevance, and her rage took over, making her something other than what Depp signed up for. When he started to turn away from their obtuse relationship, her rage grew and she started lashing out. She wanted to control Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp wasn't in the mood to be controlled. Amber Heard became abusive. It was Heard who enraged or engaged in physical and mental and emotional abuse against Depp, not the other way around. And when he reached the end of his rope, when she got on his last nerve, he walked away, leaving her to suddenly wallow in her own irrelevance and self-loathing. Amber Heard, in my opinion, is a gold digger, and she had just driven away her golden goose. What she had before her relationship with Depp ended was Johnny Depp. What she had after it ended was nothing. And she had grown fond of being in the glow of brilliance, even though she couldn't find the limelight with bold hands and Jack Sparrow's compass. Diane, I think it was at that point that she set about plotting the ruination of what she could not have. And that was Johnny Depp.
Yeah, and, you know, around this time, like you said, the original incidents, so-called incidents, happened while the Me Too movement was basically being born. And the stuff we saw in relation to Judge Kavanaugh kind of reached ahead with Amber Heard because it became like a free-for-all.
It was almost a freak show.
It was a freak show. And Amber Heard, not only is she an idiot, but she was a freak on top of it.
Look, the Me Too movement, as we saw clearly during the Kavanaugh hearings, did not require facts. It only required accusations. In that way, it was no different than the Russian collusion hoax, the Steele dossier, the manufactured quid pro quo or baseless charges of racism against President Trump. In the world of liberal idiots, and remember, Heard is an idiot, the only evidence needed to find someone guilty are accusations, and the only place necessary to present said evidence is in the court of public opinion. In the court of public opinion, Heard won the battle where it counted in her warped world. She managed to get Wokeney, a.k.a. Disney, to fire Johnny Depp, based only on the false accusations she had aired to a willing liberal media, which takes great delight in sordid false rumors and outright lies where celebrities are concerned. Heard had done to Depp what the Me Too movement failed to do to Brett Kavanaugh. Heard had poisoned the well of Depp's talent to the point that, fearing reprisals from the Me Too movement, nobody in Hollywood, a teeming, festering, gelatinous mass of wokeness, would go near Johnny Depp. Those who had for so long protected the ilk of Harvey Weinstein now fled like scared rabbits from any and all accusations without so much as asking any single question. But that's how the court of public opinion works. Accusations equal guilt. Questioning the accusations means getting raked over the coals, and any use of facts to counter the lies means outright cancellation. Real court is something different altogether. Diane, Johnny Depp had a laundry list of witnesses to corroborate his side of the story, and his expert witnesses, like the forensic psychologist Dr. Shannon Curry, who took the stand, was a superstar in her own right. Depp had truth on his side of the equation because he had done none of the things that Amber Heard had accused him of doing and was therefore his own best witness.
Yes, he was. And this whole thing is based on a fact of women who are supposedly assaulted waiting just for the right moment to suddenly go public with their assaults, if you will.
That's absolutely true, because Heard, all she had was false claims. She had no real evidence. She, like so many others in the Me Too movement, had waited years before leveling her false accusations, and she didn't level them until it was expedient for her to do so. Heard had no witnesses. She didn't hire as so-called experts, and those so-called experts simply had no expertise when it came to bolstering false claims. On the stand, Heard became her own worst enemy because she's an idiot. Just as Christine Blasey Ford had nothing but baseless accusations, so too was true of Amber Heard. Just as Blasey Ford could not produce a single credible witness, neither could Heard. Just as Blasey Ford's timeline and recollection of events seemed to change and shift randomly, so too was true of Heard's timeline and recollection of events. When it came to salacious copy for tabloids, both Blasey Ford and Heard scored well. But when and where it counted, under oath, they came up shorter than Vern Troyer at an NBA All-Star game. In the days of antiquity, 2017 to be exact, when liberals such as Amber Heard and the Me Too movement's legions of liars were but single-cell amoebas who could tell their heads from, who couldn't, I should say, tell their heads from their asses, even while their heads were up their asses, they told us that we must always believe the woman because, as though it was part of their genetic makeup and ingrained part of their DNA, women were somehow incapable of lying. Now, some 5 years later, Liberals, having transformed or evolved into sentient beings who are no longer saddled with the archaic mythical definition of the word woman, continue to believe that such things as whatever a woman is cannot tell a lie. This is why we must believe the ilk of Amber Heard, regardless of evidence presented in a court of law. The jury's still out on whether or not pretending to be a woman must also be believed, regardless of facts to the contrary, but that's a question to be answered in some future possible commentary. Diane, the fact is, Amber Heard lied on the witness stand repeatedly, and she was terrible at it, not shedding a single tear while pretending to be crying. Not only is she an idiot, but apparently she's also a rotten actress. Her two primary pieces of evidence consisted of a video of Depp slamming a couple of cabinet doors in the kitchen, hardly qualifying as abuse unless he was being accused of being abusive to carpentry, and a photo of her with a slight scuff mark on her cheek. Look, for all we know, that scuff mark may well have come from a couple of white Trump supporters on a street in Chicago at 2 a.m. Not from... Not, of course, that I'm insinuating that Heard smolletted herself. Diane, I'm not that cynical.
Oh, yes, you are. Anyway. And to make matters worse, you know, most people, when they're handed a verdict that really goes against them, they don't open up their mouths right away to spout off. They kind of, you know, slink away with their tail between their legs to gather up their thoughts and put out a cohesive statement, a statement that makes sense in some context. Was that the case with Amber Heard?
No, it really wasn't. Amber Heard, by all accounts and evidence presented in that court of law, was the abuser, not Johnny Depp. And the jury, hearing the evidence, was not buying what she was selling. Heard, the idiot, just minutes after the verdict was read, issued this statement saying, quote, "The disappointment I feel today is beyond words. I'm heartbroken that the mountain of evidence still was not enough to stand up to the disproportionate power, influence, and sway of my ex-husband," unquote. Heard also said after the verdict came in, quote, "I believe Johnny's attorney succeeded in getting the jury to overlook the key issue of freedom of speech," unquote. She went on to say, quote, "But I'm sadder still that I seem to have lost a right I thought I had as an American to speak freely and openly," unquote. I mean, for the love of God, Heard spent the last 4 years telling her lies, uncensored and unfettered, in rag tabloids, newspapers, and all over social media, thus exercising her First Amendment right to lie freely. And for the past 6 weeks, she was allowed to continually lie in a televised and live-streamed court case. Her First Amendment right seemed pretty well intact to me. After the verdict, Johnny Depp also issued a statement saying, quote, "6 years ago, my life, the life of my children, the lives of those closest to me, and also the lives of people who for many, many years have supported and believed in me were forever changed, all in the blink of an eye," unquote. Depp went on to say, quote, "False, very serious, and criminal allegations were leveled at me via the media, which triggered an endless barrage of hateful content, although no charges were ever brought against me. The jury gave me my life back. I am truly humbled," unquote. So, what happens next? Amber Heard says she plans to appeal the ruling, and for the very life of me, I cannot find anything whatsoever appealing about her. But in my opinion, Wokeney, a.k.a. Disney, should, but most likely won't, issue an immediate primetime televised apology and give Captain Jack Sparrow back the compass and the keys to the Black Pearl, along with 20% of a new Pirate 6 box office gate, while wallowing about in the money they'll make, because Johnny Depp may well be the greatest actor of his generation. On the other hand, Amber Heard should sell her house and her belongings, send a certified check in the amount of $13 million to Johnny Depp, and then get herself a job selling fake jewelry in a kiosk in a mall in Tarzana because she's an idiot. Long live Captain Jack Sparrow, who just sent the Me Too movement to Davy Jones's locker. Drink up, me hearties. Yo-ho.
Yes, she did. And I'm glad she got her just desserts. Just like I'm glad that the other lying women who lied against Kavanaugh and any other man get their just desserts. Because I'm sorry, if you're abused, if you're raped, if you're beaten, if you're abused in any way, shape, or form, you report it immediately. Yeah. You don't wait years for an advantageous time to rake in the bucks.
Well, and that was the problem. You know, she wasn't going to say anything while she was still married to Johnny Depp. But the minute Depp said, I'm done with this,
right,
you know, and filed for divorce, well, then Amber Heard comes out with all this crap because if she can't have Johnny Depp, neither can the rest of the world. She was going to get him canceled.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Craig, I have a little bit of bad news here.
Oh, yeah, yeah?
Okay, and thank God we're pretty much done with the show. I think my computer, for some reason, it just came up. My battery is running low and is going to shut down in a matter of minutes.
Well, 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 how about that?
And I don't know why, because it's fully plugged in. So.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll end the show right here about 10 minutes early. Folks, if you want to get the Johnny Depp commentary, all you have to do is go to thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the link. Have some fun. Read it. Share it. Get a laugh or two out of it. Diane's op-ed on masks and Dr. Fauci, on masks, Dr. Fauci, and truths kept hidden is available for you at rspradio1.com and Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. We will be here this Friday. We will be here next Tuesday. And then after that, it's about a 2.5 week break for us.
Yes. And sorry about that, guys, but I don't know what's going on here because everything is plugged in.
With that, Diane, I think we better say goodbye before your computer does.
Yes. Okay. Nighty night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch up with you again on Friday. Bye-bye.